Well, welcome again. We continue our journey with Moses, Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at bitter or better. And we are in Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 25. Now, this is just after the people of Israel have crossed over the Red Sea by an incredible miracle of God parting the Red Seas, and then they've had a moment of celebration and singing on the other side, and then we pick up the reading. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at bitter or better this morning. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous, and this is kind of a science joke, okay, for you science people. So I heard about this unemployed biologist who was having considerable difficulty finding a job, and he saw an ad in the local newspaper for work at a zoo, and so he went to the interview, and the manager explained to him that their gorilla, who was the star attraction, had died, and it would be a while before they could replace him, and what they really needed was someone to dress up like a gorilla until they could replace the gorilla. And so the biologist was pretty embarrassed, but he was desperate for money, so he went ahead and accepted the job. And the next day, the biologist put on the gorilla outfit and the headgear and entered the cage from the rear entrance, and the visitors smiled and threw him bread. And after a little while, the biologist sort of got into it. He started to jump up and down and beat his chest, and people cheered and threw bread at him. And the following day, the biologist entered the wrong cage, and he found himself staring face to face with a lion. And the lion roared and rushed at him, and the biologist was scared and started screaming, "Help, help," and running. And the lion leaped on the gorilla, knocked him to the ground, and whispered in his ear, "Hey, it's me, Leonard, your former coworker. Shut up, or we'll both lose our jobs." You know, sometimes life has some difficult and even bitter chapters that we have to go through. And the question is, will we become bitter or will we become better? And so the people were finally free. They had been through 400 years of slavery, oppression, and injustice. It was a horrible chapter in their life. And then God had miraculously delivered them. First the plagues, and then they were pressed in against the Red Sea with the Egyptian armies charging towards them. And God miraculously parted the Red Sea. They were able to cross over on dry ground. And then once they're the other side, the Egyptian army followed them, but God caused the waters to roll in on them, and the people were spared. And they had that moment of celebration. Last week we looked at that, as Moses and Miriam led the people in songs and praise, and then they travel into the desert for 3 days. Now, I don't know if you really appreciate how much water means to you, all right? I don't know if you've ever been in a desert at all. Some time ago, I had the privilege of going into the Grand Canyon, and I spent a week hiking there. And I hiked down to Havasu Falls, which is about a 3 or 4 or even 5 hour hike. And it was grueling. It was in July. I don't know who possessed me to go in July. That's when vacation was. So we went into July. And I tell you what, you don't take water for granted. I mean, I had a number of containers of water, but I tell you, the perspiration just evaporates off of your body, and all of a sudden, you really appreciate water. In fact, in the Grand Canyon, the greatest danger for people from a health perspective is, in fact, dehydration. So they become dehydrated, they overheat, and then they collapse, they have heart failure, and lots of bad things happen. And so lest we get too harsh on the Israelites, we need to realize that a desert experience is a difficult experience. Now, Moses had some experience in the desert. Moses had been in the backside of the desert for 40 years as a shepherd, but the people of Israel did not. They had been slaves in Egypt, and things were provided for, even though they had oppression and injustice. So they take this three-day journey into the desert without water, and you can only imagine how they feel. They become dehydrated, they become desperate, and then all of a sudden they see the oasis of Marah on the horizon, and they are so excited and so happy. This account is in Numbers as well. And they rush to the waters, they kneel down and drink the waters, and believe it or not, it's bitter. Now, can you imagine? So they're desperate and dehydrated, the waters are bitter, and they themselves, like the water, become bitter. And we can sort of understand that. So they go to Moses, and they cry out to Moses, and then Moses goes to God. Now, God tells Moses that he needs to take a tree and to throw it into water, and that will change everything. But I want to just pause for a moment and ask you, for your chapters in life, the chapters that are difficult, the chapters that are sad, the chapters that are harsh. Maybe it's a financial difficulty. Maybe it's losing a loved one. Maybe it's a challenge of an illness. And the question for all of us as we go through a bitter chapter in life, is that chapter going to make us bitter or is it going to make us better? And it's difficult. If we're really honest about it, it's difficult. And I think the choice in some sense is up to us. And so the people became bitter, and Moses is commanded by God to take this tree, which is an odd thing to do. Would you agree? So Moses takes a tree. He throws it into springs of water. We think we know where those springs are, by the way. We're not sure. They are called the Springs of Meron. They're known by other names as well. And when Moses puts the tree into the water, somehow it becomes sweet. Now, the people have to have enough faith to try the water again. Now, we don't know what it was about that tree that Moses put into water. I mean, maybe it had been burnt and the charcoal properties of the tree purified the water. Maybe there was some medicinal quality to the tree. We don't really know, but we do know that all of a sudden the waters became sweet and the people were able to drink. But you know, there's a larger purpose at play in all of this, and I think it was a test for those people. In fact, the Bible says the people were being tested by God. I think as we're tested in life, testing helps us to build trust. And this is the truth. You know, there's difficult chapters in life, but testing helps us to build trust. Now, the people had much worse chapters ahead. They didn't know that, but God knew that. There were battles to be faced. There were difficulties. There were all kinds of the brutal tests of the desert. And this was just a small test. And sometimes God builds us towards the bigger test by these smaller chapters. But first, we have to pass this test and realize, are we getting bitter or are we getting better? And we face the same kinds of things today. Now, I think there's some differences in our life that can help you and I make things better, not bitter. And the three things I just want to kind of touch on them briefly this morning. And the first thing is to pray. Now, you notice when the people of Israel knelt down to drink from the waters and was bitter, what did they do? They went to Moses. They cried, they grumbled, complained. And then what did Moses do? Now, Moses cried to God, and God doesn't want us to, you know, be fake with him. God wants us to be honest. But Moses went to the one who could change the problem and could intervene. So Moses prayed to God. And sometimes our prayers aren't fancy. They're not beautiful. They're just real. We go to God, and we cry out to God and say, hey, this is a bitter chapter in life. Please intervene. And so Moses did exactly that. He went to the one who could make the difference, which was God. And Moses prayed to God. And the second thing is praise. That's probably even more difficult than praying. And we don't want to sort of sugarcoat things. I mean, God doesn't necessarily want us to praise him for the problems, but we can praise God in the problems. Are you with me? I mean, no matter how difficult and how sad and how overwhelming the problem is, you and I can find something to praise God for. And I challenge us when we're going through difficult chapters in life to attend worship. I mean, sometimes people go, I'm going through a difficult chapter in life. I don't want to go to church. That's the time you need to go. Let other people encourage you. Let the songs kind of lift you. And then read the Bible. So learn to praise. And you look many times in the Psalms, and they'll start out with going to God. How long, O Lord, how long? And then as the psalmist begins to pray and praise, then all of a sudden the perspective changes. And that's the third thing, which is perspective. When you and I pray and when you and I praise God, then our perspective changes, and that changes everything because we grow in trust. And as perspective changes, then our life changes and our faith grows each and every day. And then when we go through difficulties that are even greater in life, then we have a different perspective and it changes everything. I want to share a verse that I shared last week, which is one of my favorite verses. And I know a number of you said it's one of your favorite verses too. And I want to read this because I think it has a great prayer, praise, and perspective. And Paul, you have to remind yourself over and over that Paul is not in some resort somewhere. Paul is in prison and facing a lot of adversity, facing a lot of difficulty. And this is what Paul writes. And he writes to a church that's undergoing persecution. He says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." When? Always, right? "Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." In other words, you don't have to fake it with God, but go with prayer and thanksgiving and be real with God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then Paul goes through this little litany, and I often do this, especially when things are difficult in my life. And so he gives these things, and sometimes I have to pause over each one of them and think, what do I have in my life that is this? So he says, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, Whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So sometimes I just go through there and I just think to myself, okay, things are not easy right now, but what's honorable, what's true, what's just, what's pure, what's excellent, what's worthy of praise, and just go through, maybe not in your life, but in someone else's life, maybe those lives around you. I mean, just take a moment and have some perspective. And then he says this, keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Even if you don't understand the chapter that you're going through, then God's peace, which transcends all understanding, will lead us and guide us just like God did the Israelites. And then I love it because in verse 13, I think all that makes it possible for him to say in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Even the darkest chapters of life, we can have faith that God's light will shine in darkness and will lead and guide us. And so in our own life, when we're facing a difficult chapter, is it going to make us bitter or better? Now here's something I think is really important and really interesting. So the solution for Moses and the people of Israel was for Moses to take a tree and throw it into the bitter waters and they became sweet. Now, isn't it interesting that in our own lives, when things are bitter, God is taking the wood, the tree of Calvary, the cross, and throw it into the waters of the bitterness of sin and has transformed those waters so you and I can know the sweetness of forgiveness and God's grace and God's love. Now, I think that's really true in life. And when you put the cross in all of life, it makes all the difference. And our most tragic chapters can become triumph. It doesn't necessarily always make them sweet, but at least makes it bittersweet in life. Because we know on the other side of this life is eternal life. And there we'll understand all things. And this life is preparing us for that life. And there's things happening in this life that you and I just don't understand. And so for the people of Israel, that chapter was building their faith. They were learning to trust God. It was their first 3 days on their own in the desert, the first hardship they faced, but there was a lot of chapters yet to come. And so God was building their trust. And you and I, we face bitter chapters in life and bitter moments, and God builds us. But if you and I look to the cross and we learn to pray and praise God and have perspective, then God can build our trust in him and God can change all of our life. The psalmist said this, and I like this, "You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever." What a beautiful picture. Now, I want to share something from something that I have no business sharing, which is cooking. But it comes from someone who knows something about that, okay? So I was looking on the internet for sort of perspectives, and I came across this article on cooking, and I thought this was helpful to sort of add to the mix, to the ingredients this morning. And it was an article entitled in the Chicago Tribune, "Think You Hate Bitter Things? Better Think Again." And so I want to read from this. I thought it was great. "Bitter is downright beautiful. It has a crucial role in the kitchen since it can balance flavors or punch up the personality of a dish. And if you believe you don't like bitter, consider all the foods that have bitter taste. Chicory, citrus, chocolate, celery, aspirol, horseradish, escarole, olive oil, quinine water, tea, toast, turnips." There's some other terms in there that I have no idea what those ingredients are, but I'm not even trying to pronounce them. It says this, "We all have an innate aversion to bitter taste," writes Chef Jennifer McLagan in her best selling award-winning book, Bitter, A Taste of the World's Most Dangerous Flavor. She goes on with recipes, and I haven't tried any of them, so fortunately for my daughter. Yet she's quick to note that the food without bitterness lacks depth and complexity. The culinary history of why we bring this taste into our kitchens despite our natural dislike of it gives another insight into the bitter persistence of allure, she writes. "As cooks, if we understand the role of bitter in the flavor of spectrum, we can exploit and harshness in the kitchen. Without a touch of bitterness, your cooking would be lacking in dimension." Interesting, isn't it? Now, I don't have a lot of experience with cooking, but I do know this, that in one particularly difficult chapter in my life, it was really, really sort of a bitter, sad moment in life. And as I was driving and sort of praying with my eyes open, it was a storm. And the sun broke through the storm, and there was a beautiful rainbow. In fact, it was a double rainbow. And my mother happened to be with me, and she said, "There, you see, there's the promise of God." And it's interesting, because I was reading on rainbows, and in order to have rainbows, you need to have two things. You need to have darkness, and you need to have light. And so the most beautiful moment in the spectrum of weather only occurs when you have darkness and when you have light. In the same way, in our own lives, when we face a bitter, difficult chapter in life, that could be a moment when the light of God's grace breaks through and a beautiful rainbow of promise is there for us. So I challenge us as we face the difficulties of life to not let it make us bitter, but to let it make us better. Listen to this from Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. If your heart becomes bitter, then everything that comes out of you is going to become bitter. But if you allow the grace of God's Spirit to make you better, then everything that flows out will make it better." You know, prison didn't make the Apostle Paul bitter, it made him better. And Queen Esther, the persecution against her, she didn't let it make her bitter, it made her better. On the Isle of Patmos, the Apostle John didn't let it make him bitter, it made him better. And in the lion's den, Daniel didn't become bitter, he became better. You and I can become better too. So I challenge us to pray and to praise and to find perspective and to trust God as God builds our lives. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we do face some difficulties in life. Sometimes it's so bitter, just tears flow from through our lives and our hearts are broken. So, Lord, we do pray in those moments of bitterness in our life that somehow through faith and trust in you, as you take our hand, then we will trust and things will become better. You make our lives better. You'll make us better so we're better able to serve. You'll give us a better perspective. We'll be a better blessing to others. And so we lift our lives to you, praying that just as Moses put the tree into the water and the waters became sweet from the bitterness, that so the cross of Calvary will touch our lives with a new light and make the bitterness of our lives into sweetness. We pray all this through Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen.